Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Hey, everybody. I just thought I would like to say something before we hear the morning message. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach a second message. But I wanted to kind of make a brief statement. What happens is, as we are in the midst of this COVID-19, what we've had to do is we've had to pre-record services because we want to do things with excellence. And so as a result, we need to be a couple of weeks ahead. And so the message that you're about to hear was preached 2 weeks ago. Now, the problem with that is that sometimes when you preach two things 2 weeks ago and you show it in the time that we're showing it now, sometimes things happen and events take place in the world that take place that you kind of want to make a statement about, and you can't because you've already preached the message. And so this is kind of how we have to do it the way it was. Now, 2 weeks ago when I preached this sermon, we didn't know what had happened with the events that had happened in the States, in Minnesota, with George Floyd and the videos that were shown of him and his untimely death and the subsequent riots that had taken place. And as believers in Christ and followers of Jesus, we don't want to have anything to do with hatred or violence or injustice or inequality in any way and form. And we boldly, as a congregation, stand up against anything like that. We believe that God has created all of us distinct and equal, despite our color, despite our gender, despite our ethnicity, and that God loves us and desires to do something great in all of our lives. And so whenever we hear and see bias and we see gender inequality, we want to stand up against those things. And so as we see this happening amongst our neighbors, we realize that even in our own country, we are not in any ways untouched by similar things that happen within our own country. And we want to do everything we can to stand against these things. But it shows us something, that this world is looking for an answer, something which is real. And we believe that that is through a genuine relationship that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. Here's the other thing, and this is the important thing, and this is what this morning's message is tied into. Not only are they looking for an answer, they're looking for an example, and that's us. They need to see a group of people who genuinely love and care for each other, despite whatever differences and despite whatever differences we have in terms of culture or anything like that. And so here's the message that was spoken 2 weeks ago, which I think is apparent for today. So God bless you as you watch this morning. Well, welcome everybody to Bethel Online. We are glad that you have joined us. Whether you're joining us right on or maybe you're going to be watching a recording a little bit later, we are so glad that you are here. Hopefully you're able to make some comments while we do the presentations live and have an opportunity. I know that I have kind of been there making comments here and there. Whether they're good comments or bad comments, I'm not too sure. But we're just glad that you are able to do church with us as we kind of go through this time. We're kind of talking about the series called The Remedy, that there is healing that needs to take place, and it has nothing to do with perhaps the virus that we are fighting or trying to avoid. It's about spiritual healing. And so a lot of us have been looking at a lot of the verses that have had to do with healing. And so I want to try and share something profound this morning, something which I think has potential to blow things wide open. The problem is, and my fear is this, that maybe halfway through you may stop watching or perhaps you'll stop listening because maybe you have heard this before. Or maybe this is something that kind of has been sort of taught before and you never really have really caught the potential of something being this big. And so it's kind of like spiritual penicillin. It is something that the Word of God, and the Word of God has words that breathe life into us, especially when we're going through times when we need to see God heal and minister to our lives. And I've heard people say during this time, so how are you doing? And the question and the answer I get sometimes is I just don't feel like myself. Just kind of feel like like something is different, something is wrong, and there's the process of the fact that we're just kind of living differently right now. But I think that there is a toll that takes place spiritually, and that's kind of why we are doing this series called The Remedy. And so I believe that there's a cure. I believe that there is a healing entity. And I think that people who passionately follow and love Jesus, even though they are serving God, sometimes forget about this. Sometimes they just say, well, this is just too simple. Or maybe we just don't actually practice this. But it is something which is found in Scripture through the words of Jesus. And he speaks very profoundly on this particular subject. And I believe that if it's fully practiced, it will create a powerful anointing that will turn this world upside down. And if it is filtered in every ministry, it'll bring power and it'll bring the miraculous. Let me just tell you, this is part of our mission statement that we're talking about. And it is something which is actually profoundly simple. But even though it is simple, it is something which is profoundly significant. It is something which is huge. It is something which is the foundation stone of our faith as passionate followers of Jesus. And if it is practiced, it is something which is extremely successful. It will turn the world upside down. And here's the thing. Everything good about our faith is found when this is practiced. And everything bad that the church is known for happens when this is dismissed or when this is ignored. And its presence is the reason that the most explosive growth in history had taken place with faith. And the absence of it is the thing that had curtailed and had spiraled the church into what's called the Dark Ages for like 1,000 years. Isn't that something? You stop and think, 1,000 years is a long time. And everything I love about ministry and everything rewarding that I have experienced in ministry is when this entity has been practiced. And everything that I hate and everything bad that I have seen in ministry has been when this has kind of been neglected or forgotten. Its presence is probably the reason why you have come to faith and why you are actually listening today, despite the fact that there are so many jerks and there are so many know-it-alls and there are so many holier-than-thou people that exist within the walls of our churches. And everything, and its absence is the reason why we kind of have this silly, stupid, artificial, superficial game that we play in the church. And everybody that I know seems to hate this game. And I just wonder, why do we play the game? Well, I come to the realization that it is easier to play the game than to actually do what God's word says. So what are you talking about, Mike? What is it that you're trying to get at? Well, I want to talk about the most powerful thing that Jesus said, and think about it, Jesus said a lot of powerful things. And to talk about this, we need to turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. And as you get to that, this is basically what Jesus said. And what was taking place was that Jesus was talking amongst a number of people, and a number of rabbis were debating and talking about it, and they posed Jesus with a question. And this is what it says. It said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind." And then he goes on and says in verse 38, "This is the first and the greatest commandment." And then he says this in verse 39, "And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, for those of you who have been in a church your whole life, you have probably heard this story. It was probably a time when one of the rabbis had mentioned a question which was probably popular amongst all of the rabbis at that time. And the question isn't so much about the greatest. The question has to do with priorities. Is there a command that trumps another command? Is there one of command that I should be obeying more than another one? And at that particular time in the Pharisaical laws and the structure that they had, there was probably over 640 laws. And so the debate could be going on and on and on. And so this is kind of important. This is something which I think is interesting. And here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just give one. Hey, what's the greatest command? Well, I'll give you two. Well, there's a reason that he gives two instead of one. And he uses it when he says this. The second is like it. It's not like this is one and this is number two. Basically, what he is saying is, there's not a differentiation between the one and the other. The one is just as important as the other. I can't give you the one and not give you the other because the two are inextricably tied together. This is something which is extremely important for us to understand. And so he kind of says the same is like it. And this leads to some important things that Jesus says. Therefore, loving your neighbor is just as important as loving God. Wow. John kind of says it this way. If you say that you love God and you hate your neighbor, the love of God isn't in you. And this is kind of becomes interesting to that to you have to, in some respects, to be shaped by the thing that John says is that you actually have to love people and love God in the same way. Let me just put it this way. You have been shaped by two different types of people. You have been shaped by the people who have loved you, and you have been shaped by the people who have hurt you, one or the other. Take a look. Just stop and think about your life for a little while. And you know what the funny thing is? That some of the people who have hurt you may have been people who have had all the correct theology that you can have. They were right in about everything. And here's the other thing. Some of the people who loved you may not have even gone to church at all or may not have exhibited any kind of faith in God whatsoever. Well, it's kind of interesting when you stop and think about it. It's not the fact that being right is not important. It is. But if you're right and you don't love somebody, then Jesus says, then it doesn't really matter. Now, to be right is important, isn't it? Like to be right, and the fact is this, love is a scalpel. Sometimes love hurts, and sometimes love makes us accountable, and love rejoices in good. But practicology is more important than your theology. How you love people, it says, is more important than what you know. Really? Does the Bible actually say that? Well, Jesus is kind of talking about this. What you know means a whole lot, but if you aren't loving people, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. And basically what he says, the law and the prophets hang on these things. In other words, it becomes the filter of all the other things. You can obey the other things, the other ones, and if all of a sudden the first two aren't there, you are in essence disqualifying all the other things which are there. Everything hangs on how you love God and how you love people. The same level that you love others is actually the same level that you will be loving God. It's the template in which you put everything upon. If that's not the template that you're on, basically what is taking place is the predominant thought that you need to have is that no matter what I believe, no matter what we practice, at the end of the day, I have to somehow be loving people, at least according to what this commandment is actually saying. It is the acid test of your faith. So ask yourself, how am I doing when it comes to that? How am I doing at loving other people? At the end of the day, what matters is not so much what you say if you are saying something and not loving people. What doesn't matter is what you are passionate about or how many scriptures that you know. If you know the whole Bible by heart and you don't love people, then there's a problem. That's what God is saying. Not correctness about theological positions, but basically, do I love people? Is my theological position correct? And if that is the case, then I should be actually loving people with everything that I have. Is that the flavor of what everything you do? So this is an interesting passage of scripture. But he repeats it. He repeats it in John chapter 13, and he kind of adds a bit of a difference. And so if we can turn to John chapter 13, verse 34, he adds something. Now, there's something about this in John chapter 13, verse 34 says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Here's some important things about this passage of scripture. It is one of the last things that Jesus said. This is Jesus' last communication to his disciples. Now, I ask myself, if I know the last thing I'm going to say before I die, I'm thinking that that thing is probably going to be well thought out. I'm going to try and instruct or say whatever I think is the most important thing for those to pass who I pass things on. It's not going to be stuff like, hey, did you put the cat out? Hey, did you feed the dog? It's not going to be conversation like that. It's going to be something which means something, something that has some substance. And this is why Jesus makes this particular command. And here is the thing about this command. In it, he gives us the recipe for being effective. He says, by this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. That's pretty intense. There is a powerful entity released when you love one another. That's basically what Jesus is saying. That there is a commanding anointing. There is an irresistible attraction that comes. This is the secret. This is the secret of actually being able to share faith. This is the difference in actually making a difference that will somehow cause the world to be attracted. So what's the difference between this statement that he makes and the one that was before? Well, there's two things. The Old Testament says, love your neighbor. What Jesus says is love one another. As you love your neighbor as yourself, it says in the old one. This one says, as I have loved you. That's pretty profound. That's kind of game changer type of things that he says, because really it changes things. It changes basically the perception. When you go from loving your neighbor to loving one another, all of a sudden, it makes a big difference because you're having a change of perception. It changes who you are actually thinking. This is someone who I actually know. And when you go from that, it changes the determination. As I have loved you is a change in determination. So if I love myself, I really don't have to make an effort to love myself. But to love people as Christ showed love to me, that all of a sudden says to me, you know what? I need to be a little bit more active. I can't just sit and play the default game. This is something that I need to actually practice. It is a change in determination. And then ultimately, it becomes a change in expectation. Basically, what Jesus is saying, this is how you're going to reach people. This is ultimately what is going to change the difference. There are going to be fads that are coming along. There's going to be seminars that people are going to teach you on how to be able to make a difference in our communities. Ultimately, it will come to whether you actually love people or not. And when something works, right, you really want to tell people about that, don't you? I remember a number of years ago, as I was on staff in another church, and there was a number of people that were around, and as we were discussing things before the meeting had got started, this one girl had said, you know what I had found out? She said, you know what, if you get stung by a wasp, I've heard that what actually really works is to actually put a copper penny, not one of the newer pennies that they had, but an actual older copper penny. If you put that kind of on a wet cloth and you kind of put that on the spot where you were stung by a wasp, it will take the swelling away. I said, no way, that's not true. And she says, yeah, there's something about the copper reaction. It has to be a copper penny. And I said, well, that's incredible. Well, after the staff meeting, I actually had rode my book. I had actually rode my bike home. How does a person ride a book home? I don't know. Anyways, let me go. As I was riding my bike home, I had my sunglasses on. And as I'm riding home, after this conversation, a wasp ends up flying inside of my sunglasses. And I kind of did what any normal person does. Get out of here. Right? And I was able to get the glasses off, but this wasp bit my eyelid. And I could feel things like swelling up like crazy. So I end up riding and my blood is pumping. So I imagine the swelling's going even higher. And I get home and the first thing that I do is I say, get me a penny. What? yeah, get me a penny. So I get this penny with an ice cube or whatever, and I put it on my eye, and it actually worked. The swelling went down. I couldn't believe it. If it works, you'll tell people. This is what Jesus is saying. This will work. Believe me, trust me, you've been with me all these years. This will work. I was reading a leadership article by an individual. His name was Juan Ortiz, and it was entitled, As I Have Loved You. And in the article, he's talking about this very thing. And he says, you know what? Loving people in the Christian community, loving one another, looks a lot like a trapeze act that you would see in a circus. And there's something amazing about people way up in the air doing these acrobatic moves and catching each other in the woo, wow. He says, you know, when love is exercised, people take notice like that. That there's something that says, wow, this is absolutely incredible. I haven't seen anything like that before. And he says, you know what the funny thing is though? If you fall, grace is the net that catches us. Even if we don't do a perfect job, God in His grace will still kind of catch us in the whole process. You'll never be perfect at it. You'll always be covered by grace. But if you're not practicing, if all you're going to do is sit on the safety net, it doesn't make a difference. What he's saying is you got to kind of get in the whole game and show people, or allow God to show what love will do somehow in their life. Yeah. At some point, you kind of have to sit down and ask, well, what am I responsible? What exactly does this mean? How does love make a difference? What am I responsible for? So I'm supposed to love one another as you have loved me, God. So what does that look like? What is that in the nuts and bolts aspect of things? Well, if you stop and consider the thought that you are who you are, because of how someone loved you or how someone hurt you, ask yourself, take a look at your life and ask yourself, those people who loved me, what did that look like? What did they do? What was happening at that particular time? Well, if you look at that and you begin to practice that, I think that that's probably a beginning point. What kind of mark are you leaving on people's lives? And hopefully we're not so busy that we can't leave a mark, a positive mark on people. Or hopefully we're not so in a state where we think that we're better than everybody that we're not leaving a mark. Or perhaps you're here and you're thinking, or you're listening and you're thinking, I'm just too hurt to leave a mark. Well, I think that there's something that breathes life when we love other people. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. And this is what it says. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Whatever is going on in your life, you have a potential to breathe life into people, or you have a potential to knock them down. Here's the thing that I have found. If you want to find relief from some of the issues that may be plaguing your soul, you will be the recipient of someone's love. However, if you want to receive healing from some of the issues plaguing your soul, you need to be the deliverer of love to people. If you're the receiver, you will receive a benefit, but if you're the giver of love, you will receive healing. The healing is not in the acceptance of love. The healing is in the offering of love. And here's the thing, that's extremely significant. It is the axis of which Christianity revolves around. But it's the simplest thing, isn't it? And the reason it's simple is this. You can't misinterpret it. You can't say, well, when Jesus said love one another, this is kind of what he really meant. This is kind of what was really happening. No, it basically meant that you need to love one another. You just need to go and you need to do it somehow. And when that happens, it becomes profoundly successful. And you know what? I just want to be successful in being able to somehow minister to the people in my life who are aching for something real. And if you forget about love, all you're doing is playing games. Isn't it time we stopped playing games? So let me give you some concluding thoughts. One of the greatest movements that started the Pentecostal movement was the Azusa Street Revivals in Los Angeles. And it was directed by a fellow whose name was William Seymour. He made this quote, which I thought was incredible. It says, the Pentecostal power, when you sum it up, is just more of God's love. It does not bring more love. If it doesn't bring more love, it is simply counterfeit. Pentecost makes us love Jesus more and love our brothers more. It makes us all into one common family. You know, the difficulty of a sermon like this is that I have a hard time giving you a so what factor. You know, if I could say, okay, well, you get in another room and you never leave that room until you two love each other. I can't legislate love. I can't create a program that will make one person love another person. But this is my thought as I was closing. If I could get 2 out of 10 people who watch this to walk away and say, you know what? I need to change. I need to make it about love. I haven't made it about love. So God, help me to be able to take a look at all those instances in my love, in my life. Help me be able to love people, to genuinely love people the way you loved me. I believe that with just 2 out of 10 people taking that to heart, that'll change us. That'll change our congregation. That'll change your community. It'll change your family. And it'll cause people to come beating a pathway through our doors. God, I just pray that you will allow us to discover this absolute profound truth that somehow in some way, God, we will be the generation that will take this upon ourselves. And in doing that, Father, we will have a leverage, Father, that will somehow attract the world. And for those people who are in need of healing, God, let them practice love and allow the presence of God to move through those times. And in doing so, Father, we want to make a difference for you. So let your blessing be upon all of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Hey, if you're in need of prayer, please take a look at the text that is below. And if you need help in any way, please contact the church. Comment, share, do everything we possibly can. We're wanting to make a difference in your life. Even though we can't meet directly together yet, we're wanting to make a difference in your life. God bless and have a great day.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.